honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Donald Trump's victory in the 2024 presidential election has left an already divided America potentially even more at odds, politically, culturally, and socially. So, what could happen over the next 4 years, and what will Trump 2.0 mean for the rest of us? I wanted to get answers to your questions. I called Simon Marks, my colleague in Washington, D.C., our go-to on all things U.S. politics. And I also got some answers from Stephen Okun, a political analyst based in Singapore. This is not his first rodeo. Trump already had a go at the Oval Office between 2017 and 2021 as the 45th president of the United States. Based on that, is there anything we could anticipate? Okay, so Steve, next 4 years under Trump, what's it going to look like?
Who knows? I mean, it is going to be like Trump 1.0, except more so. It is going to be even more of what we had in the first Trump administration. You're going to have people who are in his administration that are believers in America first, and only believers in America first. So it is going to be a much more aligned administration this time than it was last time. It is not going to have the type of guardrails that were there last time in terms of having people who were, you know, more of a, let's say, conservative, not even moderate, but more conservative as opposed to America first.
But he is determined in a second term in government not to make the same mistakes that he thinks he made in the first term. And there were a whole series of people and figures in that first Donald Trump administration, many of whom now find themselves on his enemies list. And so I think they are absolutely determined that this time round they are going to fill this government only with proven loyalists. Because in Donald Trump's world, there isn't much more important than being loyal to the boss.
As far as being loyal goes, we don't have to look much further than Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance. What kind of vice president will he be? And what sort of meaningful role could he have in the new administration?
The vice president is there to be ready in case the president can't be president anymore for whatever reason. It's basically an undefined role. And so you have basically no authority in the Constitution. The only authority you have is what the president gives you. Most vice presidents are chosen because they have Washington experience and the president doesn't. Donald Trump had no Washington experience before he became president in 2016. We're in the opposite now. He's got a huge team in Washington through things like the America First Policy Institute, the Heritage Foundation. He's got this government in waiting that's already there. Don't need J.D. Vance for that.
But it's not entirely clear how popular he is with his fellow Republicans on Capitol Hill in terms of his hardline approach, both to Ukraine and to China. I mean, he absolutely fits the Make America Great Again, America First bill. In terms of what his role is going to be, we have no idea. Because at the moment, the man who is doing many of the things that you would think the vice president-elect might be doing is not actually J.D. Vance, it's Elon Musk. I mean, the notion that Elon Musk was on the phone with Donald Trump when he spoke to President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey, and possibly other conversations that we don't know about, is very curious.
What's certain is that in building an inner circle of staunch loyalists, analysts say that Trump means business in getting his pet policies rolled out from tariffs to immigration. Analysts also point to Trump's win of the White House and the Republican Party's sweep of the Senate and the House of Representatives. This means that he'll likely succeed in passing a lot of the legislation that he wants.
Barack Obama did, Donald Trump did, Joe Biden did, and now Donald Trump is again. So this is the norm. This isn't out of the ordinary where you have one party in control of the House, Senate, and White House.
Don't forget that he's also going to have at his disposal a United States Supreme Court with a built-in 6-3 majority of justices appointed by Republican presidents, three of them appointed by Donald Trump. Now, the Supreme Court, you know, often it's not always easy to predict which way they're going to rule on various issues, but that adds to his comfort level.
Now, what happens is these 2 years is when you get the most done, because the most likely scenario is that the 2026 election will be a change election. A lot of it will be a domestic focus, especially on preserving the tax cuts that Donald Trump brought in 2017. Now, where that could impact the rest of the world is that Donald Trump has promised literally everyone a tax cut. Now, that is going to really impact the deficit. And so as the U.S. deficit grows, as the U.S. debt grows, that will have economic consequences globally.
That brings us to the topic of tariffs, and we know that Trump is a big fan. So with all of these domestic tax cuts coming, Republicans will need to balance the budget. So expect to see a great deal of tariffs put on the entire world.
Focus will be on China, but the whole world is going to be get hit with tariffs to help pay for these tax cuts. Well, as Trump puts tariffs onto China, China is going to then move its exports away from the U.S. into Southeast Asia, as is happening now. It hurts Southeast Asian economies. It hurts Indonesia. It hurts Malaysia. It hurts Thailand. And then they put tariffs on China. And so then you get not just a one-way trade war or a two-way trade war, you get a spaghetti bowl of a trade war.
Donald Trump is a protectionist to the core. He absolutely believes that tariffs are not only the solution to boosting productivity in the United States, but even, he suggested recently, potentially the solution to the United States recouping so much money that he's going to be able to end federal income tax and the need of Americans to be paying income tax. It tells you how much he's relying on the protectionism that lies at the core of his economic policy. You know, there are obviously grave downside risks to people in the Asia-Pacific region as a result of that. I think that the obvious fear is that there are going to be inflationary pressures. Those are pressures that are going to be borne by American consumers, but also by consumers in other parts of the world.
But will he put his money where his mouth is? Analysts think so. Some even expect Trump 2.0 to be more disciplined and focused than his first term because he won't be running for re-election.
I think it would be a huge mistake to bet against Donald Trump trying to implement all of his campaign promises. The repudiation that this election represented for the alternatives that Kamala Harris was presenting is so substantial that it gives him an enormous wind at his back that he didn't have in 2016. He can point to that popular vote win and say, look, this is what most Americans want. Let's get on and do it.
The U.S. is recognizing a couple of things, that China has taken unfair action against the U.S. for 10 years plus. China has not protected intellectual property rights. China has not lived up to its international commitments. And so what the U.S. is doing now is taking action to oppose that. President Obama started to change that trajectory. Donald Trump completely ramped it up in his first term. Joe Biden, for the most part, continued it. And now Donald Trump's going to take it to another level.
It's going to double down.
Triple down, quadruple down, right?
Another thing about Trump is who he is and what he stands for. Some people simply don't like his character, and others are devoted to his cult of personality. His criminal cases, those could go away because of presidential immunity. But his civil lawsuits, he won't get any special protections from those. All this controversy, and he still won the election. Why? It boils down to the basics, bread and butter issues, and being able to bring home the bacon.
You ask Americans, is the country going in the right direction, or is it off on the wrong track? 73% of Americans say the country is off on the wrong track.
There's no question that this was a change election, and it was an election in very large measure all about the economy. People voted for him because they believe that they are going to be better off under Donald Trump than they would have been under Kamala Harris. Big business on Wall Street is certainly making that bet because it thinks that a Trump administration will not bother it with regulations.
We had a question sent in asking, because of who he is, how are other world leaders able to accept him and do business with him?
Number one, they have no choice. He's the president. You've got to deal with him. But number two, many of them really like dealing with him because they think they know how to play him. They understand that in Donald Trump's world, everything is transactional. What Donald Trump wants to know is, what's America going to get out of this? I think many world leaders, oddly, perhaps, feel more comfortable dealing with him because they think it's a more straightforward conversation. Having observed the first term of Donald Trump's administration, I think they learnt from that.
With Trump returning to the White House, many are watching to see how he will handle major ongoing conflicts. The Ukraine war crossed 1,000 days in mid-November 2024, and Trump has pledged to end the war there, but he hasn't said how. And how will he approach the issue of Gaza?
But I think you will see early, rapid moves to try and resolve both conflicts. Ukraine will be easier to resolve than the Middle East, although there is obviously always the risk that Ukraine then becomes sort of guerrilla warfare between Russia and Ukraine. There is that risk. Donald Trump can simply say to President Volodymyr Zelensky, we're pulling American support. No more weapons, no more assistance. You've got to go to peace talks with Vladimir Putin. And tell Putin as well, it's now time to wrap this thing up. So I think you'll see quick movement in terms of forcing both of those leaders around a negotiation table.
It would seem that a Trump administration is going to really just focus on the one question, which is Israel's going to figure out what is in its interest, and that is what Israel is going to do, as opposed to where President Biden maybe was somewhat, and where certainly Vice President Harris seemed to be going, is, well, we have to look at it both from an Israeli point of view, a Palestinian point of view.
Next, you asked about climate change, which Trump considers a big hoax. While climate action will continue to be a priority for many nations, experts say it's often a matter of who will write the check to clean up the mess. One thing's for sure, it's not going to be President Trump.
He is going to limit the ability of government to put any restrictions on pollution, on industries that are heavily affecting the environment. Now, the other thing that we have to watch is what happens globally. What happens when Donald Trump pulls out of Paris? He did last time. There's every reason to believe he will pull out of Paris again. And, you know, globally, climate is a team sport. The crisis is getting worse, and governments are going to have to deal with it. And governments will deal with it. But it won't be as effective without the U.S. in that global leadership role that it has right now.
He has indicated tremendous hostility to the whole concept of global warming. He doesn't believe in it. Drill, baby, drill, he says he wants, as far as fossil fuels are concerned. I think the one interesting area, though, about all of this will be the influence of Elon Musk, actually. Because, you know, Donald Trump is so hostile to the idea of EVs. I think has the capacity to change Donald Trump's mind, sway his mind, at least to the benefit of Tesla, if not to the benefit of any other EV manufacturer.
So, in the run-up to Trump's inauguration on January 20th, 2025, what could happen?
President Biden has already used his power of clemency to pardon his son, Hunter Biden, asking Americans to try to understand his decision.
As president, you have basically unlimited authority to pardon people for federal crimes. Could he really do a game changer and pardon Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump isn't going to trial as president. It would show, some people would argue, that we should get this behind us and let's move forward.
The one dramatic thing that Joe Biden could do between now and the inauguration is resign. And Kamala Harris could be sworn in as America's first female president. And that would be Joe Biden making history. Would Kamala Harris want that? Who knows? Would the public stand for it? I think it's unlikely, given the scale of her defeat.